Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than having your dirty secrets revealed.
Ooh.
Ooh. Our number to call in if you are listening live on Tuesday night, 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804. You could join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking Listen and Chat Live. Or if you're listening to one of our affiliates, simply open up a new window on your browser, type in davincomedy.com, go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom, click on that, and click Chat and Go. That is a feature that will be eliminated shortly. The Davin Comedy portion of it.
Yeah.
So you'll have to figure it out for yourself after that. I can't be bothered.
Can't be bothered.
No. I'm Davin Rosenblatt. That's Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
Joe is tardy, but he'll be here soon.
Don't say that about Joe. Oh, you mean late.
He's late. Yeah. Joe is late, but he shall be here later. Oh, who knows when? I don't know. I would figure in about 30 minutes, but you never know with Joe.
Yeah, you don't want to try to figure out the vagaries of New York, New Jersey traffic patterns.
I'll get a text and it'll arrive 5 minutes after he does. So then I'll know. On the show, we will be talking with Cassie Peterson, who is a contestant on this year's MasterChef. You watch that show?
No, I don't. Do you? I do.
It's a Gordon Ramsay show. I watch most of his shows.
All the cooking shows make me very nervous.
No. Why?
Well, because I put myself in their place, and I'm not that kind of cook. And I go, I don't know what to do with that type of protein. And what kind of acid do you add to it? I don't know.
But I pulled the cellophane back and put the microwave on for 3 minutes and 45 seconds.
Is that good enough? I stirred in the middle.
Cassie was eliminated on a challenge via Wolfgang Puck.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's a little interesting story. I'm not sure Cassie is still loving the Wolfgang the way she once did.
Wow.
So we'll find out about that. Cassie, I actually met when I was on tour in Michigan.
Oh, nice.
She was in the audience, so we got to talking. And her husband has my name.
What? Really?
Yeah. So we'll have Cassie on later on. We're going to try to get some to get to a few myths about some of other reality shows. You watch reality shows?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
So they're not really reality, but, whatever.
I know.
Whatevs.
Yeah, I know. I kind of, it's like, Santa, I want to believe.
Yeah. We may or may not have a new You Stink from Joe. We'll see when he gets here. I know Joe is pissy about something.
Okay.
And I had to deal with Joe being unleashed in the public again.
It was your turn to watch him.
I did. I failed.
You
I failed. So I know Joe is upset. So we'll see if we can get to a You Stink or not. A note from Donald. This actually came out a couple months ago. What happens is a lot of the candidates, when they're running for office.
Bite your tongue.
Yeah. Their doctors write a note and they release their medical records so that we can all see they're fit as a fiddle.
Trump can't come into the presidency today. He's got a cold.
Pretty much.
Oh, not that kind of doctor's note.
When it came out, I remember hearing and go, well, that doesn't seem right.
Okay.
That seems a little far-fetched for a doctor.
Mm.
Not whether Trump's health, but how it was written.
Right.
But I never pursued it.
Right.
But a doctor did.
Okay.
And she kind of tore it apart the way I would tear apart emails from scammers, trying to convince somebody that they're not really talking to the general in the U.S. Army, that they're talking to a Nigerian scammer or a Ghanaian scammer or from wherever. So she kind of did that with Trump's doctor's note. It raises some questions. I'll leave it there.
That's fantastic. I love a good parsing.
Yes. So we'll get through that. And, it's not a show without Ann Jackson.
Yes.
It's just not a show without Ann Jackson. So, Pip, do I need to queue up a You Stink? Is this?
Sure.
Well, no. I mean, it has to be a bona fide You Stink. I don't want a tepid You Stink.
No, you know what? It's a You Stink, but it's not a one particular place. It's one particular place that ticked me off, but it's like a general kind of You Stink.
All right. I'll open with one for my mom. We'll do a double You Stink on the jingle.
All right.
My mom told me this. I'm not angry at my mom, but she told us this. It's just a funny thing.
You Stink. Your mom? Don't do that at your mom.
You know me. Nobody's safe. All right.
I know.
You stink.
Thanks, Joe. It's like you're here. So my mom calls the operator, and really, who's doing that? But she doesn't.
Really?
She doesn't go on the internet.
That's so cute.
Yeah, she calls
zero.
The,
There are people there when you dial zero?
Apparently, yes.
Who knew?
I thought that was a job that we did not have anymore. So she calls and she gets the operator and she's like, oh, I need two phone numbers.
Right.
And the operator says, oh, we don't have phone numbers. We only have landlines.
Duh.
Yeah. She did not realize that landlines
are phone numbers.
Yes.
Really? Really? She works for a phone company that doesn't understand? Wow.
It makes you long for it being outsourced to India.
It does, because at least they have a script.
So it's just not, it's not an angry you stink. It's a, really, you stink.
I was driving to work, and I saw, there's this boarded up house along the way to where I used to drive to work. And I noticed that somebody had pried open the board that was in front of the door or the doorway.
Somebody's making a horror movie.
Well, I wondered. And so I thought, well, you know what? I wonder if the cops know about that in that town. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that town's number, but I happen to know what town I was driving through. So I called 411 and I clearly said, you know, that.
Oh, you are a nosy Nelly.
Yeah, well, it was just like, you know,
you're
that.
You're such a do-gooder.
I know, I'm a pain. I called 411. I wanted to know the number of that town's police non-emergency number.
Okay.
So I get on, so I call, and I'm saying the name of the street, and I notice this thing, and the dispatcher that I'm speaking to goes, what town is this? And I tell him the town, and he goes, this is completely different town, very far away. And I was like, oh, man, 411 strikes again, and he laughs. I'm like, I'm sorry to bother you. I call 411, I ask again, I got a completely different town. Not the right one.
Should call 911.
No, it's not an emergency.
It could have been.
It could have been
an emergency to report these idiots.
I know. It's like 911. I want to call about 411.
So what's the difference between 411 and the operator?
The 411 is information they're supposed to give you phone numbers, and they know that their phone numbers they're giving you.
And the operator?
Directory. The operator, I don't even know what their purpose is now.
Maybe she called 411. There used to be a number that you could call. It was like a 1-800 number where you could call for phone numbers.
Yeah, 555-1212. That actually worked.
Oh, okay. That probably still works. I don't know. Now, since like I have a smartphone, I'll just Google it.
Yeah.
I can't be bothered to talk to you people screwing up. I don't have time for that.
No. And apparently, I gave up.
Yeah.
So whatever was happening there, too bad.
All right. Somebody died.
Whoever's dead in there, not my problem. Whoever's looting in there, take what you want. I just can't.
I think that's the proper response.
That was the proper response that day because I gave up.
Everybody for themselves. We can't fix everybody.
Nope. Couldn't figure it out.
You did more than most would.
I guess, but I just really, really could not follow up.
You're still
up.
My hero.
Isolate that.
You did all you could. I mean, you didn't stop or go in and investigate, but you drove by.
What? No, no, no. No, not going in the house.
No, you shouldn't go.
Get out.
If there was a cat there, you might have chased after the cat.
Oh, if there were kittens on the porch, I was going, I'm in.
Yeah,
but
you're in.
That's how
ex-murderers lure people in.
Yeah, I know.
With kittens.
You went, I lost my kitten. Want to help me find it? Yes, ex-murderer. What's the ex for?
Well, that's to trim the kitty.
Yes.
They don't want fur balls.
Yeah, you know, it's like if their nails are too long, they'll go into their little paw pads and
hurt.
That's
true. It's good clipping. It's good clipping axe. That's what that is.
But that was not the you stink that I was talking about.
No, that wasn't really a you stink.
No, it wasn't. That was just
Although with Joe, it would be a you stink. Because Joe, you know, let's be honest, Joe likes to blow these things out of proportion. Joe goes from zero to you're a fucking asshole in half a second when it comes to customer service.
Yeah, I would like one that backs off a little and says, you're incompetent instead of you stink.
We'll have Joe make a new thing.
Yeah, you're incompetent.
It's a little wordy.
Yeah, I guess
syllables.
So. Yeah, I guess so. You stink is good enough. But the one, the you stink that I was bringing up, it's an old you stink, but it was...
Like a fine wine.
It just got better with age. I was, someone was telling me about a you stink in their own life, and it reminded me of a time when...
Did they call it a you stink?
No, they didn't.
Oh, they don't listen regularly.
I know, they don't, unfortunately. But the you stink that I was thinking about was... Back in the day when my poor father passed away, I had to drag my mom out to the store so that we could both buy black outfits for his memorial. We didn't have anything appropriate.
I had to take out Elisa's sister when her dad died a few months ago.
Yeah.
We went to Target so she could buy, like, a dress.
Yeah, it's
That's the thing. You never really plan for death.
No, you don't have an outfit hanging up unless you're a complete ghoul, you know? This is ready in case someone dies, you know?
Everybody should have a death dress ready to go. Really?
Do you have one?
I have a lot of black.
No, a death dress?
No, I've outgrown it. I have to get a new one.
It doesn't fit right in the bust anymore.
It doesn't show off my curves the way I'd like it to. Makes me a little sausagey.
Thank you.
I don't want to be a little sausagey. So, you know, I gotta, you know, show off my assets a little better. You know, wear yes. something flattering in the face of death.
Well, you really do want to show off your curves and be bodacious at a funeral.
I like to distract from the grief at hand.
You know what? Yes.
I mean, I did tell the story where I got a firm talking to about the way I went to a funeral.
As yes.
Death is where I like to really show my fashion sense.
You got to step it up in your grief.
I try to. Let's not focus on the sadness. Let's focus on how fabulous I'm looking.
I don't even play. I bring my own box of Kleenex. Why not?
What?
My own box of Kleenex to cry.
Yeah, but you're approaching death wrong.
I am.
It's very depressing the way you do it.
Thank you. Duly noted. I will approach it a different way.
You know what? If I went to a funeral you were at, you would think, God, he looks fabulous in that dress. And you would be completely distracted.
No, I'd be distracted by the heels.
Well, you know, it depends on the surface. You know, if it's a winter funeral and there's no snow on the ground, the ground is firm. Mm-hmm. I can wear heels.
Right.
If it's, you know, a spring funeral, it's a little muddy. Not really going heels. Going to have to go flats.
How disappointing.
Yeah, listen, I do all I can, but I'm not going to hurt myself.
Good for you.
Yes.
Well, we were in Sears because that... This was back in the day when actually you could actually find mom things.
You could still find mom things at Sears.
At Sears, you know.
Of course you can.
Yeah.
You can still find mom
things. You can find stuff, you know. I just wanted...
The shirt I met my wife in where I went clubbing on New Year's Eve, Lord, those many years ago, was bought at Sears.
You know, it used to be all my back to school clothes when I was a wee one was back to school shopping from Sears. But
That's where parents took you.
Yeah, and this was just a go-to place. I thought, all right, I can find something for mom, and if I'm lucky, I'll find something for me.
You know who gets screwed in the whole Sears thing?
Who?
Roebuck. Nobody ever says Sears and Roebuck, but they were partners. Roebuck gets screwed.
Yes, he does.
It was in Chicago, before they renamed it, it was the Sears Tower. It right. was never the Sears and Roebuck Tower.
No, because he's just the redheaded stepchild of the whole Sears Roebuck. So,
you know, it's like Joe is the Roebuck of this show.
No.
It's Davin's dad. Joe is here, a co-host. Nobody ever mentioned Joe.
I'm the redheaded stepchild of this show.
But you're present, so it'd be a little bit more dangerous to make fun of you.
That's true.
So I might as well make fun of Joe.
Because I do have claws now.
Yes.
I didn't.
Look at you growing your nails. Isn't that sweet?
No, they just grow really fast.
Okay. Protein? I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I just ate a cow and look. Whatever. So we're in Sears looking for, you know, mom dresses. And so we actually find two things that we're both satisfied with. You know, they fit, they're black, good, we're good to go. Now this was back many years ago. This is in the 90s, and people normally...
That hurts that the 90s were many years ago. Ouch.
I know.
Ouch.
And you still would go to a store and pay with a check. You know, back...
I don't recall ever doing that.
Oh, yeah. Back then, you could.
Never.
So I brought out my checkbook, and they said, let's see some ID. So I pulled out my driver's license. And they're checking to see that you're you, and that the address on both the check and the driver's license are the same.
Meanwhile, people are not pleased with you later in the line.
No, it doesn't take that long. Yeah, bang, 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 bang.
Nobody wants to be behind the check person.
Well, you know what? That was back then. Nobody does it anymore.
No, they still, at the supermarket.
Yeah, I guess you still do see
nobody
people.
Likes check person.
No.
Check person should probably die.
Well, you know, everybody could die as far as I was concerned that day. I was just like, give me a problem. Give me a problem now.
You were in grief.
Yeah, I was. I was not good. So I was just not in the mood. So now the woman at behind the cash register says, your driver's license has expired. And I took it back and I looked, and yeah, it had expired like the month or two before, and I didn't even realize it. So I was just like, okay, thanks. And I hand it back to her. She goes, no, you don't understand. I can't take that as a valid form of ID. I need a picture ID form of ID, and it has to be an up-to-date driver's license. And I said, what is the point of that? Because you're just checking to see that I'm me and that I live there. Well, I do, and I am. So let's go. Let's make with the dresses.
See, here's the thing, but when you meet Pip Helix, you almost don't believe it's her.
And so she said no. And I said, well, I need to see a manager.
She said no.
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 No, I'm sorry. And I said, well, I need to see a manager. So they bring me in some upstairs room in the Sears.
Now you've done it.
And now I drag my mom behind me.
That's where they bring the shoplifters before they call their parents.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So I'm fit to be tied. And I get up there, and I pull out, like, I don't have a picture ID, but I pull out everything in my wallet, and I spread it across the counter. I go, I need to buy a dress for my mother and a dress for me so we can go to my father's memorial tomorrow. And the lady downstairs is giving me trouble because my driver's license is expired when the whole point is just to prove who I am and where I live. Here is my whole wallet full of things that say my name on them.
Now, did the manager say, you know, Miss Helix, a credit card solves all of this?
No. No. Because I was just being a little loud right now.
No.
I was like five times as loud as that.
No, you're so cool, calm, and collected.
No. I had a complete hissy fit. Capital H.
I get it. You're emotionally on empty. I get it.
I was done.
I get it.
Yeah, so I said, pick one. Pick anything
here.
Here's
my library card.
They all say me.
Me. Not radio me. Real me.
Real me. What do you need for me to prove I'm me? And I'm losing it. So the guy comes over and he goes, that's fine. That's fine, Miss Helix. We'll accept your check. And we're so sorry.
Oh, you scared them.
I did.
It worked out well, though.
I did. My mom was not... She was already a little unhinged, and she was getting upset that I was getting upset.
Oh, your mom probably thought that you inherited some of her qualities.
And that's the one, that I am not taking this bullshit anymore.
Oh, you take plenty of bullshit.
I do.
But not on the day of your father's memorial.
Yeah,
justifiable.
No. Yeah, I was like, no, not having it. No. So my you stink is to when stores or any kind of organization has some kind of bureaucratic red tape law that they're saying, no, you can't take it. If the point is to prove identity, it doesn't matter that it's out of date. Your identity doesn't expire. I'll still be me 10 years after my driver's license expires. That's all you need. Take my damn money.
I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I agree with what you're mm-hmm. saying. But on the other hand, if we did that, then chaos would rule the day. It'd be anarchy in the streets.
What, if people could use their own brains? Logic?
Know, who's to say somebody else isn't parading around with a real you? A real license that isn't expired.
What do you mean? Like parading around with a real me? I am a real me.
Maybe somebody just got plastic surgery to be you, and they could only get their hands.
Who the hell would get plastic surgery to look like this?
Somebody with low expectations. They're out there, baby.
Who would do that?
Somebody who had the dream of working with me next to the cat litter.
Plastic surgery is expensive. You aim a little higher than this.
Yeah, but we all see these plastic surgery disasters. When you aim for average, nobody notices if it's a fuck up. You don't know how many people are walking around looking like me because I got not much to lose.
Actually, I had, this was back when I was younger and I might go out and party and I didn't want to get pulled over. And I deliberately would go to the DMV looking as terrible as possible for my picture ID.
Nobody does that.
Yeah, so that when they pull you over and they look at your ID and you actually look better than that, they're like, oh, hey, she always looks awful.
That's not a bad idea.
You know,
go with your eyes a little bloodshot, your hair askew.
Maybe a
little vomit on your shirt. Not a bad move. It's pretty smart, actually.
Is that a pin? Oh, no, that's my vomit.
It's a pretty good move because everybody tries to look their best. Because they're going to have it for 10 years.
Yeah, it's like, no, look your worst. Because then when they pull you over, you always look like that.
Or you look better and it's a pleasant surprise.
Right. They're like, wow.
Yeah, I was shit-faced when I took my driving test. But I'm good now, Ossifer.
Actually, I was sick as a dog the day I took my driver's license. So my first driver's license picture really was terrible.
That's actually a good strategy.
Yeah, well,
I almost feel like that's so good it should have been a curmudgeonly philosophy.
You know what? It probably should have been.
We just gave you a free one.
Yeah, there you go. Curmudgeonly philosophy. Look like shit when you get your driver's license.
Oh, we forgot to post last week's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I have to get that from you.
All right.
Send that to you.
Okay.
And you got a freebie, Commercially Philosophy. Sans bumper music.
I know. Well, not everything has to have bumper music.
I disagree.
You do? You want your life to have bumper music.
I do. And I want a camera crew following me around. I do. These are things I want. These are things I need.
Well, you know, if you're a really good boy, maybe someday you'll get that. Can you imagine how much a reality TV show would wreck your life?
My life?
Anybody's life.
Well, we could talk to Cassie, see how it, you know, see if it wrecked her life.
Well,
she seemed pretty happy.
But that's a show that you go on and you're on camera for a finite amount of time, just like anybody who's on television. This is following you around, you know, being right outside the bathroom door.
Worked out for the Kardashians. I think I'd be fine with it. I think it's the other people in my life that would not.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with it.
But I don't know if I would be okay with that. I don't want people filming me, you know, getting up in the morning.
Well, it's all staged. They never catch you, like, doing anything nasty unless you want them to.
No, I know. I know.
So, hey, I'm going to jerk off now. You might want to get the three cameramen in here. Yeah,
it's like...
Yeah, you're going to want to be across the room and zoom in, because it's been a while. It's going to be a gusher.
you didn't get the shot? I don't know if I have another one in me.
Give me 20 minutes and a snack. We'll do a reshoot.
You got a stand-in?
You got a peanut butter sandwich? I could use the protein.
You get an over-the-shoulder shot?
Yes! Super slow-mo.
Super,
it's just like a day in the life with me. It's just real. It's good.
It's real.
I think people would watch it.
Can you imagine? It would actually be fascinating to see just like a normal person, because people want to see somebody else doing normal everyday things and go, look, I'm normal. I'm just like that guy.
I am never more riveting than at my 2:05 5-minute catnap. You know, just watch a TV and the eyes close and I'm back in 5 minutes. Just film that.
Okay, just a little catnap.
Yeah. That's what every episode should have of me, just sleeping. So it looks like I do nothing.
Well, that would be my episode, except my catnaps are experienced by actually having cats.
Yes,
many cats around me.
Yes. So I left the vacation early, which I'll talk about in the next segment.
You left it early?
I went late.
Yes.
Because we were doing the radio show.
Right.
Which we'll talk about shortly, with or without Joe.
Okay.
We're trying to wait for Joe.
Yeah, Joe, hurry up.
But if not, we'll do it without Joe. So I went up a couple days late, and I was glad I did, and we'll get to that when I come back in the next segment. And I left the day early. I left Saturday night instead of Sunday morning to go see the New York Jets football training camp.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And how was it for you?
Well, I didn't catch any passes. I was wide open, and they just would not throw to me.
You were wide open.
You made it gay.
I make everything gay. Remember, I'm the game maker?
You are the game maker.
Yes.
It was good. It was good. It was hot.
Yeah.
We had, like, the VIP thing, so they have, like, because my friend who, Jill, who I went on the field with her last year to hold the flag before opening day,
because
they have these season tickets, these primo seats, so they have all these various things. They give you sandwiches, they give you Gatorade, they give you brownies. It's a good time.
That is nice.
Then you go down, and the practice was open, but if you're a VIP, you're in a tent with a thing. So, yeah, it was cool. I actually, here's the interesting thing. Because I'm not an autograph person. You know that.
Yeah.
It's like, I should be. I'm just not. No. I just don't give a shit.
Yeah, I know. Some people really, really love it.
Yeah.
And some people are just like, whatever.
But I figured, you know what, when is this going to happen again?
Yeah.
So I went out and bought a football for it, like a special football.
That's a good idea.
For autographs.
Yeah.
You see it, it's over there.
Oh yeah. Nice.
So that's, the football is about $40, $45.
Because it's white.
Yeah. I also bought a wiffle ball bat and a ball, which will play into the next segment story. I was in a sporting goods store.
Okay.
I didn't have a wiffle bat.
Oh, okay.
So I wanted to get one. So I got that, and that'll be important next segment. Foreshadowing. So then they end the practice a little early because it's raining. So you figure you're not going to get in any autographs. I still got like 5 autographs.
Oh, wow.
Mostly rookies.
Yeah, but they're still excited about it.
But Darrell Revis was signing. I just didn't get his. Darrell Revis is like going to Hall of Fame. He's one of the Jets stars.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
No, I understand. And Eric Decker, who's one of their big receivers and a big star, and his wife is a country singer, he was signing. I just happened to get some rookies. These guys that are much younger than me.
Oh, my. Oh, wow. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know.
Here you go, Pops.
No, but you know what? I was very good about it. I was very good about it because there was like a bunch of kids, and I didn't elbow the kids out of the way. I was actually a decent human being for a change.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, you know, they don't want to make a scene.
No.
I didn't push any kids. You know, I made sure the kids got theirs first.
Got your shots in, got kicks.
Little elbow to the ear because they're so short.
Daddy, this guy's beat me up.
Shut up, stupid. I want his autograph. You know who I might be.
Who I might be. Well, let me see your expired driver's license, then prove it.
Yes, I can only show you a football. But I got rookies. Yeah, so you hope. Now I have a vested interest in
them. In their career.
Yes. Now it's like, God, I hope they make it big.
I have ink on a football. You better take off.
So the football cost about $40-$45.
Right.
The case cost about $30-$35.
But it's impressive.
The autographs probably diminish the value of it. Unless any of these guys do something. The one guy's been on the team for a couple years, Rontez Miles, which he was a cool dude. Talk to him. Very, very briefly, but he was very cool. He was having trouble signing because his finger was, like, broken.
Oh.
But he was cool. But I made sure I thanked them all, because you should always thank them.
Yes.
I said good luck to them, mm-hmm. and I said I hope you stay healthy this year. That's a big thing if you're a football player.
Yes, it is huge.
These guys get beaten up, really.
You have a refrigerator, no pun intended, barreling at you from down the field and landing on top of you. I wonder why you might get injured.
Yeah, so the players were cool. I went out of character.
Ah.
I went out of character.
And you were nice to them. Aw.
That's the out of character.
That's the out of character.
You didn't go to, really? You think you're going to make the team, you undrafted rookie free agent? Do you? That's you. Let's be honest. You're getting cut next week after preseason game 3. You should be asking for my autograph. I did none of that. I did none of that.
Good.
I was
good.
A gentleman.
Did I tell you about when I was a little kid, I went with my dad and my brother to the Giants, down by Giants Stadium, and they were doing like a practice thing before the season really started. Mm-hmm. And they were, you know, afterwards, they were signing autographs and things. And I did not know who any of these people were, but I ran around with my little autograph thing going, would you sign this? Would you sign this?
Because you're a kid.
Because I was a little kid. I was excited.
That's what you do.
There was a guy standing there, and he's fussing with some papers, and there's one kid standing in front of him. Everybody else has got a little crowd. So I ran over to the guy that only had one kid in front of him. I'm like, this is so easy. It was the kid's dad.
Right, yeah. But that's all right. You don't know.
And I stood there, and he's like, yeah, I'm not on the team. And I was like, oh, man.
So would you sign?
Yeah.
I'm not on the team.
But I still remember the embarrassment.
I sell hot dogs in section 123.
But he was wearing, like, a giant shirt, like a fan's do.
Probably part of the organization.
Maybe he was. I don't know.
Or just a fan?
He was just a fan.
Oh, he totally should have signed it. He totally should have signed it. He should have signed it Lawrence Taylor. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, and he was a white dude.
Who cares? You didn't know. Fine, Phil Sims. Whatevs.
I know,
right? It would have been, like, all these years you would have thought of, no, it's Phil Sims. And you're like, no, it's Bill Simmons. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's like, who's that?
That would have been awesome.
It would have been funny. I remember when I first started doing community theater plays, and this little girl came up to me after the show with a pencil and a piece of paper and asked me for my autograph.
It's
and I
great.
Was like, that was so sweet.
It's great. Listen, I'm still, I get asked to sign autographs, and it's still like weird for me. Because there's some comics ago, a lot of comics when they're selling merch, oh, let me sign that for you. And they sign it for you, and I'm just not that guy. First of all, extra work. Second of all, I'm just not that presumptuous. I mean, I guess if they're buying something, they would want your autograph.
Yeah.
But I just don't do that.
Right. No, you wouldn't offer. You'd ask and let them ask.
Yeah, when they ask. And, you know, I probably when it first started happening, I'd be like, really? Do you? But, like, why? But now.
I knew. I didn't say to this little girl, honey, I'm nobody. It's
no,
community theater.
You ruined the
I
illusion.
I didn't want to ruin the illusion for this little girl.
And now
if
she has that, now you're a big time radio host.
Yeah,
it's she'll... Of course, the name on there, probably a little different than the name on here, but...
My penmanship is a little different. Yes, you're correct.
Yes, that must be it.
Yeah, that's it.
That must be it. So this is my second radio show of the day.
You are a trooper.
Yeah, this is so difficult.
I know. Well...
Talking, how do people do it?
I don't know. I mean, I do it for hours and hours on end.
Yes, we know.
wait a minute now. That's my purpose here.
Yeah, here? Yes. But we're not doing a show all day, and you refuse to have the camera crew follow you around.
Have you been talking to Mr. Helix about how much I talk?
Yes, I have.
I knew it.
So I pitched something to Sirius XM. Mm-hmm. I had originally pitched our show to the guy in the Comedy Channel. They just are not really doing talk shows for the Comedy Channel.
Bastards.
Right.
I mean, oh, that's unfortunate.
It's fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know. So, but I had this idea that I pitched to him, and he thought it was interesting, and he asked me to make a demo,
mm-hmm.
and we did that. I did it with the old software. I didn't even use what we're using now. I just did it guerrilla style.
Wow.
It was good, though. It created the vibe I wanted to create. I think it was very insightful. I did it with three comedians, Uncle Floyd Vivino. You know Uncle Floyd?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, you do. You know Uncle Floyd. Paul Bond. You know Paul?
I don't believe we've met.
And, of course, Kevin Israel, who was on the show a couple
weeks
ago.
Yes. Oh, he's a good guy.
Yeah. So it created the vibe I wanted. It was fun. I think comedy fans are going to find it very insightful. I think they're going to learn a lot about what we think.
Mm-hmm.
Our mental process while things are going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And how we look at things, and I think they're going to laugh. So I didn't edit it. I just sent it. So they said they'll take a listen. We'll see what happens.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would, out of the guys that you mentioned and you, I mean, I really like it when you and Joe talk about, you know, different comedian things and what you're thinking.
Different comedian things.
Comedian things.
We talk about comedian things. Hey, where's your rubber chicken?
Jokey stuff. And
what do we do?
You
Jokey
know,
McJokerson.
But I like to see, you know, how you're thinking through stuff because, you know, some of the stuff that you talk about that happens to you when you're doing things, mm-hmm. I mentally panic and go, what would I do? It's just like the cooking thing. I put myself in that place and I go, I have no idea what I would do.
I think we're going to get to another one of those mentally panicky things in a second.
Oh, no.
No. that we just experienced. But yeah.
Oh, yes.
So I got to thank Paul and Kevin and Floyd for coming here. And I feel good about it. If they pass on it, which they might, I might pitch it someplace else. I don't know where else I would pitch it, but I really feel good about it.
Good.
And
good.
It was nice to do different type of thing.
Yeah.
Different type. I mean, I love doing this most weeks. As you guys know, some weeks, like, get the fuck away from me.
Especially when the equipment does something weird.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that too loud because, you know, it gets ideas.
I should probably check.
Yeah, I know. It's like everything's still working.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all good. It's not a Tuesday without the gremlins.
Yeah. But it was fun. So I'm optimistic about that. Messaging back and forth with the person who I'm supposed to do the TV show with. He came up with an idea that I really liked to add to the show.
Good.
So I was supposed to film that next week. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Well, wait. Next week, aren't you away?
No, this week I'm away.
Oh, you mean the week after. Okay.
Yeah, next week. This week is now.
Oh,
next
okay.
week would be the week after now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's how I do it.
True.
Yes, that's... Way I've been working, and so far, so good.
You know what? I need that calendar thing to guide my way.
Yeah. So, we'll see. It just seems like there's so much to do all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, that's not a bad thing.
No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So, Joe is not here. I've waited long enough for Joe.
Yeah, he must be stuck.
Joe hasn't even texted.
You know how much good that does, because he's trying to guess
yes, I
what's
understand,
going to
but,
happen
but
to
Joe
him.
Joe is usually fairly reckless with traffic laws.
Yeah, but let me look at my phone, because you know how your phone, you know, messages come. No, not me either. Because I get my messages before you do.
Yeah, you do, on your ancient phone.
On my ancient phone, it's pretty, it holds together.
So I guess should we talk about what we did last Tuesday?
Yeah.
Talk about that and... When Joe's here, Joe can add into it, or Joe's got to get here fucking soon. Let's be honest about this shit. Let's be honest, Joe Curry.
Wait, we got a timetable.
And
train's got to run on
Joe
time.
Joe doesn't listen anymore because he thinks it distracts from the show when he comes in. So Joe doesn't know this.
Yes.
So this is all the times when we can bash Joe without fear of repercussion.
Well, you know what? We can bash him to his face. And sometimes there isn't repercussion, and sometimes there is, depending on the mood he's in.
It's kind of like Scottish roulette.
That's an interesting title for it. But yeah you never know.
Yeah.
You know, there could be, you know, calm, complacent, just like listening and giggling Joe, and there could be you know, go completely mental berserker Joe.
Sadly, I have no reason to bash Joe in this upcoming story. There's absolutely no reason at all to bash as much as I would love to.
No, there's no reason.
There's no reason to. There's reason to bash others. But there is absolutely no reason to bash Joe.
No, there isn't.
Somebody should isolate that.
I know.
That will not happen again.
How often is that going to be said again?
So we were supposed to be off next week.
Yes, we were.
We were not going to do a show because I was going on vacation. I was supposed to leave on Sunday to Vermont.
Yes.
And I didn't want to miss a day of that.
No. yeah.
But so our syndicator, which replays an hour of the show, as you know, on across various stations on the weekends, asked if we wanted to do Morning Drive. Fill in live.
Yeah, that was really exciting.
Yeah, it is. Again, when you consider, we do this next to the cat litter. when you stop and think about it and break it down, it is kind of mind-blowing. Because
yeah.
I was, you know, like a month ago, I was just like, I don't know. You know, if X and Y doesn't happen, I don't know what's next. So you need the little steps to keep you going.
Yeah, you do.
Sometimes
you
just need a little pickup.
Yeah, everybody needs a little incentive.
Right. So they're like, you guys want to fill in? Should I say the name of the show? Does it matter? I guess we can.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we?
Why not?
The Sam Sorbo Show. She's an actress. She's been in a bunch of things. Sadly, I don't know what they are.
No, I looked her up, and I don't. I mean, it doesn't mean
like
anything.
A lot of dramas and stuff.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean anything that I haven't seen them. It's no knock against her. It's
right.
Just I don't know her
She's
stuff.
She's married to Kevin Sorbo, who his big thing was Hercules.
Right, right.
Which some people would know.
That's what I recognized him from.
Right. So a lot of talk radio networks, that's our syndication company, a lot of their shows during the week are very right-wing talk.
Yeah.
You can't get enough of that.
I know. And apparently they can't.
Yes. So so Sam is on a hiatus right now doing a movie with Kevin. So they're bringing different people in. I don't know how long the hiatus is. So they asked us to fill in
mm-hmm.
for a right-wing talk show.
I know.
You know what? We never wind up in the places we should be.
No.
Like when we were at the compound, we never belonged there.
No, we were not their cup of tea at all. The only good thing that came out of that really, really was Trucker Tom.
Yes.
You know?
And Trucker Tom brought us together.
Yes.
Well, compound brought Trucker Tom to us.
Yes.
Yes. That is very true.
That was a fortunate thing that we got out of that experience.
Well, I think
and
we got...
And a lot of experience.
No,
and
we got some
we
good
got,
radio. Let's,
we
yeah,
did get
we,
good
it was
radio.
Fun. It was fun doing it with Anthony.
Yeah, I'm...
Let's not say it was... The chat room was a little less than to be desired.
Well, that part of the experience particularly.
Right. But it weathered us. But we certainly made some good radio there, and we were certainly glad.
Oh, yeah.
We did it. And also when we were on Levy Land, we did not focus exclusively on the chat. We did not do a 3-hour show of what's on your mind in the chat room.
And they
ooh, sugar smacks, delicious.
are you eating Cheetos right now? That's fascinating. The thing was that they were used to that, and so we were not their cup of tea,
right?
Because we weren't catering to what they were used to.
Amazingly enough, we might not be everybody's cup of tea.
What?
I know.
Stop it.
So we were on. So we couldn't do it from here because of certain equipment issues. So we went down to Fairleigh Dickinson University radio station. There.
Right.
We did it on their equipment, which was very good. And they were Talk Radio Network actually gave us an engineer who was pretty much running the show.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
Can we?
Yeah, Patrice.
Yeah, Patrice was great. No, I was all prepared to run the board because I have done in the past. And so I sat down and I was looking at it and they're like, yeah, no, he's going to do this, that, and the other thing remotely. All you have to do is keep these pots up and kind of just sit there and do your thing. Really? I didn't have to do anything? I was just, you know.
Imagine my relief because usually I have to worry about, are the streams on? Is Sam done? You know.
Yeah, you didn't have to
We're
do
getting it. Static in the chat room. We can't hear. We haven't been able to hear for 3 minutes and 19 seconds, which I appreciate. I need to know that.
Yeah, don't do that in the annoyed voice. It's like.
No, but it's. I don't know.
We need
it's
to
a
know.
Chat. I don't know their voices. I haven't met most of them.
I know, but it's annoying. It's
annoying,
annoying
not at them.
Not at them. Thank you for telling us.
Yes.
But it's like, oh, you're kidding me. Now I have to, like,
yes.
juggle,
yes.
you know, chainsaws
it's
while
annoyed
doing
at the situation,
show.
Not at the messenger. So there was none of this. And Patrice was actually talking in our ear, so he was giving us countdowns.
Yes.
So and Joe was keeping track too, as Joe always does. Mm-hmm. But this was even better, and there was a minute delay. So if we went a little longer, things could be. This was completely new.
It was real professional equipment
carefree.
With an engineer. You know, I mean, we were like, oh my God, this is amazing.
I just had to worry on content.
Yeah.
I had to get us in and out of breaks and worry about content. Such a pleasure.
I know.
So so halfway in, and Patrice has worked with some pretty big names in right wing radio. I'm not gonna say the names.
No, but he has.
But if I mentioned it to people in private, they would go, yeah, I heard of that person.
Yeah, no, he has a pretty impressive resume,
yeah.
And he's actually clearly very professional.
Yes.
You
which
know.
Was probably the smart move by them to put him with us.
Yeah, I know. Because
the word rub off.
I know.
Sadly, no.
No. Well, I mean, to be fair, a lot of our issues have to do with our, you know.
Upbringing.
Our mommy! excuse me. No, it has to do with our equipment,
right.
Which is not up to their professional grade standards.
Well, it's good enough for a replay of the
show. Yeah,
yeah. No. So, halfway into the show, half hour into the show, the engineer, Patrice, is like, I think you guys would be like a perfect morning show.
Nice.
And you got to understand about radio is, morning, even though I don't like to wake up that early, that's the primo spot.
It really is.
It's not drive time. Afternoon is the second primo
spot
when people are coming home from work. But morning is the primo spot. Now, on the East Coast, for the East Coast affiliates, we were 9 to 12. So it's a little bit, it's a touch of drive time, and then it's afternoon lunch. But
yeah.
On the West Coast, where a lot of these affiliates are, it's 6 to 9.
Yeah.
You know, or 8 to 11. You know, so depending on the time zone and everything. So they're talking, they were like, half hour in, he's like, you guys would be perfect for morning talk. Which is nice, because we don't do a wacky Z Morning Zoo.
Ding, 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 woo-hoo, woo-hoo, yeah!
Yeah. The type of show I just can't listen to.
No, I can't listen to that, too. Especially in the morning. That's so irritating. People
being
like,
a little too happy.
Wacky!
A little too happy.
Yeah.
I mean, not that we weren't happy.
When I worked in a deli, the woman I worked with was
It's comparable. The Morning Zoo radio program is comparable to the deli.
It kind of was, because the woman I worked with was a little too awake for the morning shift that we were working.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the boss, so I couldn't say, shut up! Shut up! Stop being so fucking happy about making eggs! Shut up! Because she was just too over the top.
You and your damn eggs.
Oh, my God. People would walk in and she'd be, good morning! And they'd be like,
that's irritating.
No, it's really obnoxious.
Yes. We're obnoxious, but not in that way.
I wanted to punch her in the boob most mornings because it just wouldn't stop.
I would say, it was about an hour into the show, he apologized to us because he lost track of, like, time. I mean, we were still on time because he was, like, so engrossed in the conversation.
Yes.
And I don't mean to toot our own horn, you know, whatever.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we should.
Because I don't usually do that.
No, but that was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just going to say yeah for the next hour. Engrossing yeah talk. Remember the Sesame Street? Yep.
Yes. I cleaned out my car.
It wasn't Telly, no.
I cleaned out my car for the first time in ages,
mm-hmm.
And I found this little crazy frog that I have. It's stuffed, and you squeeze it, and it goes, bing, 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 bing. It's insane, but for some reason, it makes me laugh my ass off. But it's very repetitive and loud. And it goes, mwee! At the end.
Yeah, I'm irritated just hearing the story. That's sad. So we had a diverse menu. We had to do some political stuff because we were filling in for a political. And we talk about politics sometimes. Although I sometimes stay away from it just because I don't feel like fighting with Joe.
Yeah.
I don't feel like hearing about the liberal unicorn song.
Yeah. Yeah, I
and I still contend everybody loves unicorns,
yes.
Not just liberals.
Yeah,
so, yes, everybody wants unicorns.
What's not to love?
Who wouldn't want a free unicorn? So, but for this we had to do it. But you know, that being said, I'm probably center left. You're left, and Joe is right.
Mm-hmm.
And center on some things.
Yeah.
Or center right on some things.
I'd say I'm center left. I don't think I'm, you know, completely out there.
No. You're not a Bernie, bro.
I'm a Bernie.
You're going to vote Hillary.
Yeah.
Okay. See, they're still talking to you.
Yes. I mean, I'm not like Bernie or nothing. It's like that doesn't make any sense anymore.
So we had the topic of Donald Trump has been saying the polls are rigged.
Yeah.
The election's rigged. They're going to steal. Now, keep in mind, whenever Donald Trump is up in the polls, yeah, not rigged at all. Everything is working perfectly fine.
Well, it reminds me of some people who believe in, like, luck or believe in prayer or whatever. And it's like, oh, it's sort of like, well, we prayed really hard and God came through. And it's like, but when the chips are down, they're like, God has forsaken us. It's you can't have both.
So we're talking about that, and I was talking about the danger, the message that sends to the country, because he's already questioned our judiciary, and now he's really questioning the tenets that our country is working on.
Right.
You know, he's questioning our democracy.
No.
And I'm talking about the effects this have. So we had a good conversation.
Well, that's great.
You were there.
Yeah, I know.
But no, I mean, I thought we had a good conversation.
I think we did.
So we get a message on the break while you folks are hearing commercials. It's the engineer, Patrice. Sam Sorbo is on the phone.
And wants to talk to us about some of the things we've been saying.
And now I've been around this show quite a bit.
Have you?
I have. And I know if there's a talking to, it ain't going to be good.
That's kind of the way our luck goes.
But he's like, well, she listens to all the shows. And she calls in. And we're like, why?
Why? You're on a break. Why are you still coming to work?
Well, she's not. She's just listening.
No, I know. But I'm just saying.
And there was discussion before that, you know, people were surprised because we were different.
Yeah.
We were not what they expected.
Yeah, there were probably some conservative listeners that ran off the road.
Although it's funny, our bumper to come in is all Sam stuff. So it's like, the answer is not more government. Government is evil, like stuff like that.
Yeah, I know.
And now Sam is pro-Donald Trump, but it's just funny, as an aside, that a lot of things Donald Trump proposes is going to involve bigger government. I didn't get a chance to bring that up to her. But
yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, Sam wants to talk to you. And you could kind of tell in Patrice's voice
that we were getting a talking to.
Yeah, but he didn't want to tell us.
He was just trying to... He obviously liked what we were doing so far, and he didn't want to scare us. And he was kind of, yeah, it'll be okay. No, no, it's nothing like that. And I'm not believing him at all. I'm like, no. Oh, we're going to get a whooping.
We've gotten whoopings before.
Yeah. Well, it's like my when I was in grammar school, the principal, when you were in trouble, he had a gray couch that sat outside of the principal's office in the hallway. Mm-hmm. And if you were sitting on that damn gray couch, as people walked by, they looked at you like dead man walking. And I felt like we were going to get called out onto the gray couch.
Like, I didn't feel like she wanted to talk on the air about what a great job we were doing.
I didn't get a feeling.
You know, just a hunch.
She didn't have. She wasn't the welcome wagon with a basket full of
muffins
for us. Well, this
is even before
I
talked to her. I'm like,
yeah.
So we blow off whatever we had planned.
Yes.
And now we're going to talk to the host of the show. This is her show. It's not our show.
Right.
I mean, I'm saying Davin's then filling in for the Sam Sorbo show.
Right.
But this is her gig.
Right.
This is not our gig.
So we gotta.
You
can't exactly say, yeah, we're not taking that call.
No, I'm not, we got more important shit to talk about. Yeah. There's scammers that need our attention.
We have the segments lined up already. We don't have time for her.
I typed it in everything. I even used bold.
This bold part, we have to get to.
Yeah, we have to.
And we have 6 minutes.
Tell Sam she can Twitter me. She can tweet me. No, that was not an option.
That was no, I got the feeling this was a command performance. This was not an optional, would you take her call?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we exchanged pleasantries.
Yes, at first.
It was very nice.
What?
At first.
No.
Well, she's filling in for the show, and she said she could fill in for my show.
Yeah. I wasn't buying any of that.
No?
No.
No, you weren't lured in?
No.
Oh. So.
let me just say, my ass was puckered. I was waiting for the body blows.
And if you're a fan of the show, you know every time Pip's ass has to do something. There's danger involved.
There could be consequences.
There most certainly could. And it's not our studio. So we want to keep the consequences to a minimum. So I had given the stat, I think I got it from coast.com, which admittedly is a very left-wing site.
Okay.
I think that's where the article's from. So I'll say that. I don't. But it was something like since 2000 to 2014, there had been 31 cases of voter fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, voter fraud is not rampant the way people would like make you think.
It's not a big issue.
If anything, the voter fraud is that a lot of people who want to vote can't vote.
Right.
It's you're not getting in this country a bunch of people who are lying about voting.
The voter fraud that's going on in this country is not on the voter side.
Right. But so Sam got into it and she's like, I don't like you giving my audience misinformation. And it is her audience.
Right.
And I pride myself on misinformation. That's like what we do. So we're at a loggerheads.
That's my other name.
So, yeah. So she starts getting into it. It's like in North Carolina.
Yeah.
There was a whole bunch of cases of, she said, mm-hmm. of dead people voting.
Yes.
She said, I said, well, that's great. I said something because it was like, you know, long after they're gone, they still want to keep involved in the process.
Because we're also a comedy show. Ha ha.
Yeah. And she starts screaming at me.
That's not great.
No, it's not great.
That's not great.
And I'm just like, it was a joke. I said it just like that. Because you can't go, you dummy. You just go.
And she just was talking right over Devin, going on with her talking points, which she wanted to call and get across.
She had a talking point.
Yeah, she did.
So then she's talking about this pollster. She's talking about how the polls are all rigged.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that doesn't make sense because they make their money by having reliable polls. I mean, this is really capitalism.
Yeah.
If the polls are complete garbage, nobody's going to pay for the service.
Who's going to pick up your poll?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That came out dirty.
Yeah. But, well, she said, well, there's this one pollster that he disavowed his own poll. That does sound dirty, too.
Yeah, doesn't it? Bad. Yeah. Bad.
she disavowed her, he disavowed his own poll. I go, that's interesting. I'd love to see that. Where can we get that? I go, Pip's got her computer open. We would love
Why
to.
Why don't you give us the link, is what you said.
Yeah, do you got a link? A site? I think it was on Town Square, which I don't know what it was.
And I started trying to Google.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know?
I don't know. I'm guessing it's a right-wing thing.
Yeah, I guess.
And then she goes, well, I think I got it in an email from the GOP.
Uh-huh.
If you know anything about me, I don't really care about the emails from the GOP, and I don't care about the emails from the DNC.
No GOP? Yeah, you know me.
No DNC.
No, you know me.
Because I think both sides are going to lie
right.
to get their point across. I'm going to go to more of the mainstream news. I know, the lamestream media. I'm fully aware.
Yeah.
That being said, they still have checks and balances. If they're complete shite, nobody's going to go to the. If CBS News is complete garbage, people are going to stop going to it.
Right.
A certain amount of people. So they have to, on some level, keep it fact-oriented.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, the far-left wing sites, the far-right wing sites, the material coming out from the political parties.
No. It's like, hello, can you say propaganda?
Yeah. And I'm just like, well, yeah. I don't get the emails from the GOP.
Yeah.
And then she's going on. She's like, well, you know, the voting machines, they're made in Venezuela.
Don't you think there might be a problem there?
And I'm going, I go, Sam, are you comparing us to Venezuela?
Yeah. Our voting system is as bad as Venezuela? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if the machines are made in Venezuela or not made in Venezuela, but they're still being controlled by our election board.
Right. Well, the other thing was, because she was really going on for a second, I felt the need to clarify and say, you know, we're not pro voter fraud, right?
Yes, you did. Yeah,
because she seemed to be thinking that's what we were advocating.
And actually, that's where Joe chimed in. And Joe said, no, we did talk about that is some voter fraud.
Yeah, but it's not overwhelming. Like,
voter fraud and rigged polls are two different things, by the way.
Yes, they are.
They are completely different things.
Yeah.
But Joe chimed in and go, no.
Yeah.
We are.
No, we're not saying what you're saying. Think we're saying.
So the interesting thing is I'm going back and forth, and the look of horror on Pip's face.
No, that was angry.
Was that?
That was angry. I was not upset with you going back
and forth. No,
I
know,
like,
you weren't upset
boy.
With me.
I was just like, what is wrong with this person calling up their own show and like ripping into us? I'm sorry, lady, but this is our time. You know? Like, I mean, it's your show. But
well, I mean, she does have a vested interest in, you know, it's her brand. I get that.
Yeah,
she's built up whatever she's built up. She built up her following, her affiliates, her spot. I get that.
I get that. But she opened up her bag of crazy and let it all fly around the room and wouldn't pull it back into the bag.
Crazy when it comes to politics does not fly with me.
No.
I'll deal with a lot of crazy, as you folks know.
It's like bring the real statistics from valid sources. Primary sources that are not.
And I was open to those sources.
Yeah, you're like, okay, that's interesting. Let me see where you're reading this at. And then she's just like, you know, communism.com, you know, or whatever. I mean, oh, you don't think that might be a little weighted in one direction? Or, you know, the GOP. Well, don't you think that they're going to put out information that proves their points?
You seemed mortified.
Yeah, I was.
That this was going on.
I was.
And I'm just thinking, well, ain't this another just another day at the office for this show? I mean, this is the show that consults with the Pentagon and has been fired mid-show from a United Kingdom internet radio station.
Mid-show.
We got fired mid-show because Joe was fighting with the chat room.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's one thing if we're taking on listeners and, you know, we're saying, okay, well, I don't, you know, we're trying to have reasonable discussion because it's good to have intellectual discussion and debate, but it's not good to just have somebody screaming at you their point
right.
and screaming over you and not listening to anything that you're saying because they're so interested in just getting their point out, not learning.
It was awkward.
It was really awkward. And I thought rude.
I was polite.
You were polite. You were really good.
Thank you.
I thought that you handled that really well. I didn't say anything.
A barrage except, from hostile people? Just another day in my life.
I didn't say anything except the clarifying that we're not pro voter fraud
right.
because I really thought what she was saying was missing our point entirely. But the other thing was I was starting to, you know, the steam level was going up, and I'm like, yeah, I got to be careful what I'm going to say. Davin's got this.
Because that's the interesting thing. Like, first of all, I don't really lash into anybody when we've taken calls or even at the compound.
Me and Joe.
Yeah, well, you deserve it. But they deserve it, too, but I don't do that. You know, I'm pretty even keel about this stuff. I like, you know, all right, whatever. You can have your opinion. But when it's the host of the show, you can't cut them off short. Like you could with a normal caller when the bat shit comes out.
Right.
I have to ride this to break. And it's like she's still going at me and like the music's on.
The music is on and it's like, you know, this is your producer that is playing the music and trying to play you off. Do you listen to Patrice when he's working with you? I mean, do you?
Oh, I mean, I was kind of thankful that the music was
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah, because it was like I was actually rolling my eyes and going, oh, thanks, sweet baby Jesus. The music is playing.
I mean, I didn't mind the conversation.
I was just thinking, tell me she's not going to hold on through the break.
I was just like,
I'm going to rip some shit up.
I was just like, it'd be really nice if the host of the show liked what we were doing. But it's such a far right wing show. Speaking of far right wing, Joe Mosey's on in. How are you, Joe?
I saw a bear.
What?
You looked in the mirror? Sorry, you set yourself up for that.
You did.
That was a soft law. Thanks, Joe.
Did you have your little hoodie up and got scared?
I'm fierce. We're in Sugarloaf?
No, 17, going down 17. Like, traffic is slowing down. I'm like, what is this? Nothing there. Look at this. This is a big black bear.
No
Don't
way.
Yeah,
it was cool when you see him, right?
It was
yeah, when you're safe in a car.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I hope somebody doesn't rear-end me. Then we have to pull over, and then a bear's going to snack on us.
Good story.
Yeah. If I make it here to tell it.
Cover your head in honey, and maybe the bear will lick it.
So we were just finishing up, so if you want to add anything to this. We were just finishing up when Sam Sorbo lashed into me.
Well, here's the deal. Sam Sorbo will call in and doesn't know Davin that well.
She's a lucky woman.
And yeah, and I
look at her. Yeah.
Well, you know, and she started going on about the whole thing with the voter fraud. I believe it was a voter fraud.
Yeah.
And my whole thing, and Davin was like, well, where are you getting the fact? Well, I got it from this site, and well, it's very right wing. Did you get it from anywhere? Well, no, I don't.
Very right wing is the GOP.
I understand. Now, as we know on the show, I'm as right wing as they come. Mm-hmm. And now my whole thing with voter fraud, and it's a shame because I'm running the clock, and I was kind of bummed because we had a minute left. My whole thing, Dahar, is, are you more concerned about voter fraud or are you more concerned about the way the news skews things against Trump and not Hillary Clinton? And are you more concerned at Trump shooting himself in the foot where there's so much rope he can give Hillary.
But we weren't
to
talking
hang
about that.
I understand that, but what I was saying is this question I wanted to ask her.
Yeah,
because she was so
you
bent on it. But as a right wing person or a right wing person, you're more focused on. And she was very adamant about that. But my whole thing to her is, yeah, that is a problem, and it's a little portion. There are bigger portions that you should be worried about and more concerned about, and more adamant.
I think
about.
She was more concerned about who was honing the number one mic. I think that was her primary concern.
Well,
she wants to take me out.
But the problem is that I don't know if she gets people on there that kowtow to her. And
I'm guessing most do.
But she certainly wasn't getting there, especially when we're passionate about what we discuss. We research. If we go back and forth, we try to get as many facts as we can. Yeah. There was a little bit of rhetoric to her.
Oh, you think?
Yes. Yes.
Pip called the talking points. Yeah. I think Pip was dead on. She had her talking points.
Yeah, he had her talking points, but there was a little bit more rhetoric on that where, you know, and like just really briefly, she's so focused on that. There are other areas as a right-wing Republican, there's other areas and a conservative as well that you should be focused on, not just that. That's a kind of a smaller point to the whole picture.
Well, I felt it was awkward. Pip felt it was awkward. What did you feel as it was going down?
I didn't feel it was awkward. Actually, I felt it was a shining moment. The host called. We're on there to do a show. We're doing the show best we can. We did a very good job. The host calls in, tries to derail us. Not derail, but, you know, prove her point, try to derail. And we held our ground. And we held our ground in a concise, respectful, intelligent way.
Yeah.
No, I just felt it was awkward from the fact that I was kind of handcuffed on how I.
Dude, it was more awkward on her part. It was more it was more awkward on her part.
Well, I think from the listener, if you're a fan of her show, and presumably that's who is listening to us, if you're a fan of her show, you probably think, if you're a far right wing person, that she gave me a good what for. I would think.
Well, of course they're going to see it the way they want to see it.
Right, and like I said, the reason I wanted to chime in but I couldn't due to the time was I want to pose the point as the right-winger on the show. You know, all of us right-wingers, conservatives and stuff like that, we have a lot more to be concerned about than the voter fraud. It's there in a percent.
We weren't even talking about voter fraud. We were talking about rigged polls.
I know. Well, rigged polls, that
it
goes in hand. But rigged polls.
She brought it to voter fraud.
I know, but still, yeah. that's where it was. And basically, there was debate on that, where on that debate, I was kind of along with you guys, because we kind of had an agreement on that. Where, yeah, it is a concern. Yeah, it's not that big percent. Yeah, but it's a concern. Well, why is Trump doing it? Well, he's bringing it to the forefront. We're taking a look at it.
And that it was damaging to the country to
overall
question, you know, the way our system's rigged. He's questioning democracy.
The whole process.
He's pretty much saying our democracy is rigged.
Yeah,
that, you know, that was the point of the whole thing.
Well, it's up to debate and up to discuss. You're bringing it out for discussion,
right?
It's regardless if it is or if it's not, you're bringing it out for discussion.
He's great for discussion,
huh?
He's great for discussion, Donald Trump.
He is.
You damn darn too.
He most certainly is.
So, but I think if you were just a regular person, not a fan of hers, I think we came across very well.
I think we did. We did an absolutely outstanding job, and I'm not saying this because I was part of it. I think we were all there. We know the drill, and we did a very, very good show. Hope there's more to come.
I think she got pawned.
You think what now?
Pwned.
Pwned?
She was pwned.
I say pwned, but I think that she didn't come away from that. I don't think she came away from that looking like she was very educated on the subject or just had one side.
I think that's the problem.
Yes.
She did not come across. When you have to resort to, well, the voting machines are made in Venezuela.
Or there's a poll. I know a guy. You know, it's like, really?
Well,
where's the link?
Well, I'll give you an example. There's going to be a topic in the show we're going to do tonight.
Yeah.
And I saw it. I read it. And then I went around the internet. I went on Snopes. When we get to it, you'll see. But I did my research. Is there a counterpoint to it? Where's the counterpoint? If I get called on it, what points could I bring up? Is there anything there? You know, because that's the topic of the show. That's what we do. We try to do our research. Okay, if this is what she's doing, you can't come out on a point of rhetoric if you're trying to make a solemn point on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't. And you know, sometimes I'll do it. Sometimes I'm doing teasingly. Sometimes I didn't get the chance.
What
is
the teasingly? I can't tell.
Half asleep or whatever, you know, half asleep when I get up here. But still, you know, there is a point, that was maybe several years ago, but there is points where you take a look and you find it. And if it's a fact, then you see if there's anything there. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's the gig. And
she probably used to telling her audience, well, you know, I got it from this source.
Yeah,
I mean, because they're not calling. Nobody's listening to these right wing shows. And going, I don't. I disagree. You're listening because you like to feel. Think other people think like you.
They're
I would say listen to the left wing shows, but really nobody listens to those.
They're not.
They don't. They're not for good radio.
She's like the Ann Jackson of right wingers.
Ouch,
Mr. Davin.
Mr. Davin,
voter ring.
The voting machines are made in Venezuela.
That's where the rhetoric point. What? All right, and?
They're made in China. Did everybody end up voting communist
election? But that's the thing.
I knew you did.
Figures. But it is.
Really? Just because Manafort's gone doesn't mean you're off the hook, comrade.
But, yeah, the voting machines event, and that's where the rhetoric, the extreme right-wing rhetoric gets involved.
Well,
the main event, and so, and what's the position? What's the problem? What's the facts on it? You know? What's the deal?
I think Patrice felt bad about it.
Yeah, I think he did.
I think he felt bad.
I heard it in his voice. Like, yeah, she's calling in to talk to you.
But we sent her packing in a respect. I'm not kidding, damn it.
Get your Venezuelan voting machine.
We sent her packing. She brought up these subjects. She came off not, you know. I know she might have been on the set with Hercules there or whatever husband name is sitting there. But you know.
Just flexing and stuff.
I got to quit make a call. You flex.
Nice stupid biceps. And furthermore.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. No, stupid. I got to get on the phone with you know. But that's, you know. They come in and try to do that, you know? And
I got to get on the phone with Stupid.
That's not a bad name for a show either.
on the phone with Stupid.
Promote callers.
Yeah.
There you go.
But the station, the talk radio network was very happy with it. The engineer was very happy with it. The person who we've been dealing with was very happy with it. They're talking morning show. They're talking about us filling in more. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, something's got to be taken care of before that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. They want to kick it upstairs as a morning show. So I'm waiting to hear back. But not bad. Coast to coast.
Coast to coast.
And I think we did. I think we did a very, very, very good job.
I do, too, from the feedback. And I'm still working on getting a copy of that show, which I will throw on our stream when I get it, so you guys can listen to it.
I'm very, and I hope you do, because I really, that was our pinnacle moment. It really was.
Yeah, proud of that one.
And, you know, a lot of shows, it's like when people go, oh, you do a podcast. No, we do a radio show.
Yeah.
We do a radio show. So if there's anybody ever listens to a replay of our, oh, it's a podcast. No, it's a radio show. And we went on coast to coast, and we demonstrated we're a radio show.
Yeah.
And like we were saying before you got here, not only a radio show, but talking about a morning show, which is the primo spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to get that type of accolade.
That's the flagship of the platform when you do that, you know? So that's
We'll see what happens. We're certainly not a normal morning show, as Pip and I were talking about. We're not a wacky, crappy morning show, you know? And I was proud of us. We also brought in the scammers. We stay true to the scamming community. I said I would try to move that forward.
Right.
So we did that.
Also, we had to get everything together. We were supposed to be off next Tuesday. Last Tuesday. I'm sorry. Off next Tuesday. We'll be here next Tuesday.
Would you like to be off next Tuesday? Yeah,
okay. No, I'm here.
All right. I want to be off, say the word.
But Davin.
I'm getting used to taking off whenever we want.
Every other week.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I got to keep going. But the thing about it was that we got it on short notice. Davin did a great job getting the stories together.
Yeah.
All three of us did a great job of getting everything together, getting everything prepared, having everything prepared, and getting it done. The folks at that studio as well over at Fraley Dickinson were very, very nice, very accommodating. Thank you to them.
Yeah.
And everything went very, very well. I was very, very happy walking away from that. It was really,
me too.
And hungry for more. So there you go.
There hopefully will be more. You keep in mind, though, if we were to do this daily, we would have to put together shows quickly.
Oh,
that's
man.
Kind of the deal. Woo-hoo. So, yeah, but everybody's responsibility. All of a sudden, it's a 10-hour day, work day.
Yeah, it is.
Shows don't, but you also have people helping you. and all. And yeah. I've been asked, well, are you guys going to do, because, you know, with the Avalos thing, there was investigative reporting with that.
Yes.
And I've been asked, oh, are you guys going to go back to that? And I said, if given the opportunity.
Yeah.
I would, not necessarily Avalos, but if I had a staff or something I could overlook or time. But the reason I haven't is because I've been focusing on trying to cultivate opportunities like we had last week.
Mm-hmm.
And also with the Avalos thing, when people go, well, you're going to do more. Well, if we're going to bust our ass, there better be an interest in it, because we did a lot.
I got a whole bunch of stuff that's going to, I'm going to post when I get, can, I can work on more evidence from the guy who she scammed, the evidence from the guy. So that'll come in the near future. I think we should take our first break. When we come back, we're going to do the talk radio network portion of the show, which means we'll take more frequent breaks, and then we'll do some Ann Jackson at the end. We're going back to our traditional format.
Yes.
So we won't be doing two talk radio network shows. But on the break, we have new music from Ian Turner and Tony T with their single Tonight, and also DJ Combo and Martin Noken with Lift Your Hands. Of course, both of those are KHB artists, so you can learn more about them. You go to www.khb-music.de. KHB-music.de. So listen to the tunes, and we'll be right back. Don't you go anywhere.